to support this idea of simple awareness. One of the interesting things to notice is the influence of each moment, each occurrence of knowing, of awareness, each moment of engaging in the practice, each moment of allowing the practice. And the influence is something not to be thought about or analyzed, but something that you can feel. Is the effect of practicing tension, stress, pressure? Does it come along with, accompanied by judging, analyzing, being pulled into thinking about the practice? Or does a simple act of knowing, simple act of allowing awareness, does it kind of have a small local influence of ease or peace? Or maybe even some indescribable sense of rightness. Oh, this feels good. This is right to know this way. There's a way of being aware, the way of allowing awareness to be here, that contributes some modicum of calm or ease or spaciousness or maybe peace. And I use the word local right there, maybe right around what you know, right close in to maybe where you sense the practice, sense the awareness operating. So that anything that you know, you're aware of, anytime you're aware, you're a little bit open to what follows, what comes from that. And then, just in the next second, or as you do it, right in the locale, what influence does it have? Today's topic is mindfulness of thinking. And in that regard, I want to say that how we think about meditation and the practice can be influential in different ways, beneficial or not so beneficial ways. If to think that the common language in meditation is that my mind wandered off and then I have to bring my mind back. Your mind doesn't go anywhere. It's always here. Your thoughts might be thinking about things elsewhere. But to bring the mind back, to have this idea of mind going off and then bringing the mind back, I used to jerk my mind back because I thought I had to bring it back. When I realized that the mind doesn't go anywhere, I didn't have to bring it back. I just had to turn the light on. And then with the light of awareness on, to notice what reveals itself. The influence of bringing the mind back, when I was jerking it back, was a little bit of stress and agitation. When I simply, gently turn the light on, it contributed a degree of space and peace, easy going. Many years ago, it was a common for insight teachers to talk about watching the breath. It's a metaphor to watch the breath. And then we found that a lot of people then are straining their eyes physically, or they're up in the control tower. And the influence of doing so is not so beneficial if there's a strain. And so now there's sometimes more a tendency to use language of feel the body's experience of breathing. Allow the body to receive its own experience of breathing. And for some people, it's easier to have a sense of maybe groundedness, openness, receptivity, with language of feeling the experience. The human mind imagines a lot. If you're making fantasies about anything, thinking about the future or past, you're engaging your active imagination. And imagining can have an influence on us. Imagine frightening things in the stomach and can be not pulled up into a knot of fear. Imagine something really delicious to eat. And the influence could be desire, or it could be joy, satisfaction. But also, the influence can be being pulled into the world of more thoughts, fantasies. As you practice, the time will come when it's appropriate to have a clear knowing that you're thinking. Not casually know you're thinking, merely continuing to think. A little bit, another metaphor I like is to step away from your thinking and look at it directly. Kind of a clear, direct knowing that has a good influence on you. So it's nice to know. To know without being troubled. To know without an agenda. Beyond just knowing it clearly. Sometimes I've added the one little preface to make it more fun. With a lot of thinking, I go, wow, that's a lot of thinking. Thinking doesn't have to be the problem in meditation. It's just one more thing to know. One more thing to experiment with. How simply can I know thinking without being swept away in the thoughts? And since a lot of those thoughts that sweep us away are discursive thinking, stories and analysis and commentary, it can be helpful to call on a much more basic, deeper kind of knowing, deeper kind of simple thinking. Imagine that's deep. A thought of recognition. Remembering. Planning. Fantasy. Sometimes a clear recognition of what you're doing from a deeper place, quieter place, a more peaceful place, whatever is available to you can take some of the authority or the seduction away from the discursive thoughts we're doing. And we're less likely to be swept away. And the thoughts that we have do not occur alone. They can sometimes come with emotions, moods, mental states, as Andrea talked about yesterday. And this ability to know simply can be supported by knowing the emotion or mood that comes along with the thinking. And if you know the emotion and the mood that's coming along with it, it can be helpful to know it in its physical manifestation, how it is in the body. And if you know what's going on in the body, sometimes you can just breathe with it. And that breathing with it supports being present without being swept away. If your thinking is in the background and not disturbing you, not disturbing your practice, let your thinking stay in the background. But if thinking comes into the foreground, you can be reassured that that's a completely appropriate subject for being aware, for simple knowing. And to know by simply turning on the light, to know in such a way that knowing has a nice influence on you. It's nice to know. It's done in a pleasant way, calm way. Allowing each act of knowing to be complete, its complete moment itself, without any reference to a past and a future, just this, just now. You might take a few moments to feel whatever way your body is calm, whatever stillness of body there might be, where there's more calm or or ease than usual in your life. Even if you're agitated in other ways, and see if your awareness practice can be informed or guided by that calm. Mindfulness that's in harmony with whatever calm influence there is, without forcing it or expecting anything. In a few moments, I'll ring the bell to end the sitting. It's very easy to hear the bell and then unmindfully open the eyes, change the posture, and begin thinking in an active way. What might it be like for you to end this sitting in a mindful way, staying aware of the whole process of opening eyes, shifting posture, so that you're aware in a pleasant way, so you're aware in a nice to be aware of what changes happen to you at the end of a sitting. It's quite useful to learn the skill or the ability to be mindful of your thinking. There's so much learning about how we get caught and what motivates us. So much to learn about the influence thinking has on our life. What we do and say and feel. There can be a feedback loop between thinking and what we're feeling. We can have frightening thoughts. I've had fantasies of things which are nothing real, nothing reference to anything that ever happened. And then I'll feel afraid in my body. And then as my body has fear symptoms, that gives me a sense there's danger, and I have more fear thoughts. And I have more fear thoughts, and then that more danger feelings in my body. And luckily it doesn't go very far for me. But it can go quite far, this loops, and get stronger and stronger. Negative thoughts about oneself, any kind, shame and anger, criticism, feeling of unworthiness. They're not so innocent. There's a cost to those thoughts. They have an influence and they can create physical symptoms, emotions in our body that can give authority or feel more substance or feeling like, oh, this is proving. It's the proof that those thoughts are true. And then the thoughts are given more credence and more energy, and they go looping around and around. This is why one of the things that's In psychology, it's said that one of the leading causes of depression is rumination. Some of the thoughts, the influences, they're deflating. Some thoughts are agitating, like maybe have a thought of anger and there's a loop with sensations in the body. And the same thing is true of positive thoughts. Sometimes in meditation, those can be helpful to settle us, to have thoughts which are appropriately nice and about ourselves, about life. But too many pleasant thoughts can be agitating. One of the consequences of a lot of thinking is we become alienated from ourselves. We lose touch. And so it's possible to ask yourself, what's the influence that my thinking has? Is an influence that is helpful or not? And if it's not helpful, are those thoughts necessary? Maybe you'll conclude that they are. Don't know. Then you can ask yourself, is it necessary to have the same thought 100 times, 1,000 times? And then I hope you'll say, no, not necessary. And one of the great things I learned in meditation was not to be bothered by my thinking. And not being bothered kind of breaks the cycle, the looping that reinforces thinking. To be bothered and not like our thinking and try to get rid of it, oddly enough, can keep it going, gives it energy. So to know calmly, to know as simply as you can, without any reactivity, without being for or against, is actually the magic sometimes of no longer, provides the wonderful magic or the specialness of no longer feeding the thoughts, becoming free of their allure, their authority, their insistence. And slowly we'll learn we have better things to do than spend a lot of time thinking. There's a depth of intimacy with ourselves, with the present moment, as we become more receptive, relaxed, allowing of the fullness of our experience that's greater than anything we can think. Thinking limits. Mindfulness opens up to something that has no limits, a space of knowing, awareness, presence. So as you go about the day today, here at IRC practicing, if it seems interesting to you, you might try going about at the speed of non-distraction. And what I mean by that is it's so easy to get up from a sitting or at some point get up from a meal and just kind of matter-of-factly go to the next thing without noticing, not being aware enough or present enough to notice that you're starting to think about something. And the mind will just then have we'll have a party. You know, if you're left alone, your mind probably has tremendous capacity to use a metaphor, run away and with thoughts. So this kind of not being attentive, the cost can be the mind takes off. And not to rein yourself in, not to get tense or tight, But how to be relaxed, soft, gentle, or calm, but to have the kind of, go about in the kind of speed, go about in the kind of manner that allows you to notice if you start getting distracted, pulling off into thoughts. And if you want to have a dramatic reaction to that, just say, wow, there it goes. And just that wow might be enough to kind of not be caught in it. Stay present. Stay here. At the speed of non-distraction, whatever that speed that might be for you. Thank you, and enjoy the day.